Father, we paused ourselves to take a day out of the week to not just do a service and go to church and be the church and check off the box of, but Lord, we set aside time just to meet with you in a moment. It's the best thing in the world. So I thank you, you inhabit your praise, and you are here to be met with this morning. I pray you continue to meet us in the word and in our souls and our hearts. And I believe all of our lives will be transformed, Father, and pivoted today in a new way, in a new place, because you are good and you still have an agenda for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have the grandpa glasses on today. We'll see if I keep them on. I don't know. I want to start with Acts of the Apostles 19. The subtitle of this, is a subtitle up there? Was a subtitle up there? No more handmade gods. No more handmade gods. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, he traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast. The New Testament has a book called Ephesians. So this is the people group, right? And it's on the coast. A church on the coast sounds pretty groovy to me. You know, I'm just saying. Ephesus was on the coast where he found several believers. He found some of God's people. Ever be someplace, travel around, and someone's got like a witness wear shirt on, and you're like, hey! Or you see a church, like, I know that church. Or you just, you know, or they're praying over their meal, and you're like, oh man, I love that. You don't go over to them or anything, but you see them praying over at Chili's, you're like, you know, you just want to high five them in the spirit, like, pray to go, you know? This is kind of like you ran into some believers, like, oh, these guys, look, they got God shirts on. Look at those God shirts. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He goes, you got a God shirt? Yeah, I got God. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus, the Christ? The Christ, the anointed one, the one that we waited for, the Messiah. And they said, no, we haven't even heard. There is a Holy Spirit. Now, a vital theme that's been running through Acts from 1 to 19 has been God's Holy Spirit in his church, his desire for that, his purpose and intention. Jesus said, I got to go so I can. So it doesn't become this minor point of doctrine. And I'm not saying you can't be saved. What I'm saying is it's important because God said it was. And he sent a whole book about his spirit in the church. We can't ignore that because, say, I am the church now. I'm the church now, right? Acts 19, 3 through 5. And he asked, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John performed a baptism of repentance, continually telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. All right, so here you have these folks who believe that God was wanting repentance. Like, John's like, hey, is your life messed up? Have you been messing your life up? All the stuff God told us to do, I don't know if you pulled out the Old Testament and slammed it down, this big old book of, you been messed up in this at all? They're like, yeah, we've been messed up. I'm not even on my notes now. I may have to get back. But I'm saying, you know, and they're like, yeah, I'm messed up. I need God. I know I broke his rules. And they're John's baptized him in the dirty river coming up. Whoa! Jesus went through that, right? He goes, I didn't do anything, but I'm going to go too and show you. Right? They got baptized because they said, we're living ungodly lives. And we agreed, and so we got baptized. These believers, they had God in their life, but now they've come to believe that Jesus is not just the forgiver of sins, but the remover of sin. And he was the Messiah. It says, after hearing this, they were baptized this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Say Lord. Lord Jesus. Here's some points to ponder already. There's no points back there yet, Bob, but I know I've possibly, Bob, your life's going to be hard today. Pray for Bob and sound and tech because I may not get through all the verses today, Bob. We're going to probably pull an intermission on this. This might be a part tour. Who knows? I'll look at the clock. A part tour. Maybe. I don't know. But there's a lot of slides and issues and things I put up you see. We'll get to them, Bob. And if I slow roll too much, pray for Bob. Okay. But you don't have these points, Bob, so you can relax. Here's a point to ponder. Have I lately, I don't know, maybe it's just me because I'm getting into counseling and a lot of different life, but have you maybe lately. Ever heard of people saying, I'm a spiritual person? Or walking to somebody and go, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. Yeah, I'm a spiritual person. That's nice. But that's not quite the acknowledgement that there's only one true God. As your Lord. Well, I acknowledge your spiritual things. I'm a spiritual person. Yeah, good that you acknowledge spiritual things. But number two, something to think about. Saying I believe in God is not always I believe in Jesus. Here's the third thing. Having received the gracious gift of salvation, it does not always mean that someone has also received the Holy Spirit. You know? It's been done poorly a lot. And we talk about, I'm going to get into things. This chapter's so thick. Ever have a nice piece of meat in front of you? You ordered a big piece of meat. And it's slapped on a table and you're like, I want to fill it. I'll eat this thing. And then you get halfway through it, you go, I'll eat tomorrow morning. I'll have steak for breakfast. You know, steak for breakfast. You can tell I've been up north too long. You know, steak for breakfast. Acts 19, 6 through 7. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Unprompted. Paul didn't go, hey, Holy Spirit right here, ready. Come on. Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to come on you. He didn't do that. He just prayed. Authentically prayed for them. Unscripted, uncoached, unprompted, the authentic Spirit of God. And they began speaking in unknown tongues. Good Hebrew today, Jeff. Way to go. Unknown tongue to most of us. Crushed it. As far as we know, you crushed it. He could have been just praying in prayer language. Like, sure, that sounds like it. Wait, exactly how I would say that word, Jeff. I'd sing it just like that. You know. But authentic, speaking in unknown tongues, languages, and prophesying. There are about 12 men in all. So here's my little pullover. The Holy Spirit's real. Here's a great thing to think about. Just ask God. Before we judge a thing, before we write a thing off for us, just ask God. Just ask God. His Spirit changed my life. And maybe I'll put you on the spot. You're the church. Have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life and it's changed your life? I mean, authentic baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah, changed your life. If you can't ask God for His Spirit to baptize you, you're never going to get His heart and His full character working in your life. And everybody talks about the gifts. Ask for the baptism of His Spirit. But before you ask, God, I would love the gift of prophecy. I'll tell you, occasionally, when occasionally he would use me that way. It's never like yay for me. Woo! It's more like, oh, Lord, are you sure? Because I'm sticking my neck out. And if I say that and it's not you, I'm a false prophet. And I don't know. I hold that, you know. I care about that. And I know y'all so much that I try not, you rarely see me do that here. I respect his Spirit. But before you ask for the gifts of God, ask for his heart. Baptize with his heart. Baptize in his character. Man, when I first came to Jesus, before I needed the Holy Spirit to do, like, to be a gift, God, I needed my character worked on. Dude, work on me. But all means, ask. Yeah. Say this. Never, ever fake it. No fake Jesus. No fake Jesus, all right? And never fake it. Acts 19, 8 through 10. I don't know, Bob. I like my pace. We might get there. I don't know, Bob. Then, you notice I've been bouncing forth between Amplified and New Living today because I wanted to. Then Paul went to the synagogue. And as we've read and seen, the synagogue is a common meeting place for the early disciples. Notice it's all through Acts, and they met at the synagogue, and Paul's at the synagogue, and Paul got dragged out of the synagogue, and Paul got beat up in the synagogue, and, you know, they're hanging in the synagogue. There's a theme, right? He's there. He's meeting people. And he met there. Why? Got an escapee. I won. Andrew, don't let that guy out. I can see the ushers and moms. It's okay. We're a child-friendly church. That's okay if they escape. That's why we have an usher at the door. They're like hockey players when you're usher at the door. You're like, kick save and a beauty, you know? Yeah, I'm from hockey world. You know, okay, You know, the Lord told, this is hard for me because I want my structure. And Dr. Heidi, my beautiful wife, loves structure. And I don't want to mess up her structure because she has good structure. Trust me, she's pretty. But she's also structures a lot of things that do good in our life. She has accomplished what we need to accomplish. Keeps me on task. And I appreciate that as my helpmate. The Lord asked me today to glide with him a little bit. And you know what I saw? I pictured this, maybe ice skating, but there's a roller rink in our hometown. And I know, they laugh. The kids are like, what's a roller rink? Roller skating? I didn't know you were, what BC were you in, you know? But there was roller skating, right? And you had these people like Dr. Heidi when she was little. We grew up in the same town, and we talked about those things, and I knew her in grade school, you know. So she'd be the kind of whip around, gliding around the roller rink, cross her legs, spinning around, talking backwards. We're doing stuff. The doctor, she's reliving it right now. She's like, yeah, I was good. You know, I'm rolling. I was skating. I was out there. You know, and I was a guy like, I was happy to get around without falling down. I was a good athlete, and I did a lot of things. I couldn't. Ice skating was worse. I said, I can't play hockey. But you're real aggressive. I can't play hockey. Why? Because I can't skate. But the Lord asked me to glide today with him. Like when you're seen sliding around the curve, maybe in a NASCAR, skid, turn, glide with me. Just hold on to the notes, but glide with me when I need to glide. So, Bob, I love you. Forgive me. I'm trying to glide with Jesus today. Bob's super tough. He drives an hour to come to service. I mean, who's tougher than Bob? Dolores. Okay. Who said Dolores is tougher than Bob? Okay, Dolores. Okay. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Like, what's the kingdom of God? I've done series before. Basically this, the King of Kings has ways of doing things. The King of Kings has a way of doing things. And Jesus came preaching, it said, the kingdom of God. He said, hey, this is how it's going to be from now on. I'm coming to declare the I want to take what my father had set in the beginning for everybody, and I'm going to bring together the new covenant. This is the kingdom of God, you know. Paul argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. Say, but some. But some. Unfortunately, there are always but some. Ever run into some but sums? I have. Ever was one? I was but some. Oh my goodness, I was. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. Man, my first smack prides in my life, and I am not pro this genre of teaching, and I'm not anti, I'm just be authentic. But when people were witnessing me about Jesus, when I was trying to strip my own life out, remember I left off on that tale, I had plans. Destiny, I pray for your knee because my plans busted my knee. And I pray for your knee that you get back to doing the stuff you can always do and get healed quicker and PT go better and the pain go away. And you're kick save. You know what I'm saying? She's an athlete. She needs to get back out there and do her thing. Anyways, sorry, Destiny. She's like, Pastor, I'm sitting way back here. You got to dog me out from the back. Sorry, Destiny. I remember people talking to me about Jesus. And all I did was bust on, I'm being honest, this was my shame. I'm not saying everything this guy did was good, and I know I ended in controversy. I'm just telling you it wasn't my place. But I was busting on Jimmy Swaggart. I was like, dude, you're yelling at me and doing things and all that. What you driving, a limousine, four of them? Oh, come on. And one day, I was going to a little church, trying to figure out the Holy Spirit, and I was in this little dungy apartment. I flipped the TV on, and the only station I could get, because I didn't have cable, I could afford, I was working my butt off school, you know. And back then, TVS had turned off at midnight, you know. So I turned, yeah, my kids are like crazy, roller skating, and TV turns off, you know. Yeah, he's old. Wild times, you know. And so I'm there, and Jimmy Swaggart's on, and I go, and I found Jesus, but I knew how I felt about the guy. And then the Lord says, it's not about the guy. It's never about the guy. Unless it's Jesus, it's never about anybody but him. And I'll use any vessel I want to. And Jimmy Swaggart looked at me, I felt, in this little tiny apartment in Elmira, New York, and said, if you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you've been and went through a whole list of things, get on your knees right now, and I'm going to stretch my hand towards the television, and I'm going to pray for you. And I felt like, holy cow. I felt something. I go, no one's around. This was pre-cell phone. No one could record me if they were. I got down on my knees, and I bawled. And I felt God's presence. And I had no idea what to do with that, but it changed my life. He can do those kind of things, and he still does those kind of things. So Paul left the synagogue, and he took the believers with him. Then, now, I'm going to give you some commentaries that I've read about this then part. It says, commentaries often say that Paul rented out the hall, or he could have been given a generous gift by Tyrannus, a sweet deal, on a place for a building to preach, a physical place for a growing church to regularly meet at the same place. But like, what's the big deal, Pastor? Do you know for a long time there was this super spiritual craze, people projecting super spiritual insight? They said, you don't need to be in a building. That's true. You don't need to be in a building. But it was coming from this kind of like the spirit of division. If you have someone be nice to you, you feel like there's what's the motive? Where are you coming from, Jack? You know? Like, you ever meet someone and go, hey, and you're like, you're trying to sell me a water cooler, aren't you? I can tell across the street, how you doing? I'm doing great. No, I feel oily. Don't sell me something. You don't have to be in a building. Actually, the New Testament they never met in a building. Oh, really? And lots of times, people that don't want to meet together, they don't want accountability. This won't be super spiritual. The early church never met like that. That's not true. Apparently, let's read God's word as our source. It says, then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. I looked that up because I wanted to be like my son, Pastor Justin. And I think I put a love of Hebrew and Greek into him when he was young. I put that, but I was like, I'm going to find out in history all I can about the Hall of Tyrannus. Are you ready? There was a Hall of Tyrannus in 55 AD in Ephesus. The end. That's all I could find. I was like, oh man, how disappointing. The Lord said, but it was there. It was there. Paul held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years. 2 years of meeting under the same roof. The way of Jesus blazing and establishing his kingdom, new methods to reach people was their meeting in one singular place for the first time, consistently. Say, I am the church now. This went on for the next 2 years so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, could hear the word of God. Wow. The hall for a church in an international port city. That's a popping place. They're on the coast, right? Meeting. Woo! Man, I feel that. I want to call Apostle John right now. I'm on the coast. Vitia Church. My small girls went to Samoa with me. Remember Vitia? There. That's on the coast. I said, yeah, you get back. They go, oh, yeah. This has got a good vibe. But anytime I walk into a church on the coast and sands around and palm trees and people are singing their hearts, I go, oh, this is nice. I'm not saying that was Ephesus because there's going to be a problem later. But here's some facts. You want to know where God Church actually meets? Wherever you go. You know where God's church meets? Wherever you go. Say, I am the church. Here's another fact. God says, wherever there's two or more believers gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. Right? So the truth is, you don't just go to church. We are the church. Right? So Paul and Apollos and Barnabas or Luke writes in this scripture about in Hebrews, because they don't know who exactly. The Hebrews is like, well, it's probably Paul. No, it's Barnabas. It doesn't matter because it's the Holy Spirit. It's God. Why do we argue about that? I've been in rooms where guys are arguing, seriously arguing about who wrote Hebrews. I'm like, bro, you don't get it because you're arguing about it. You miss. Go back to square one. Find the heart of God. Get off that. You know, come on. But they wrote about the importance of assembling together. Wherever that was, it is important that you assemble together. First, don't forsake it. Don't skip it. How many times I've wanted to skip seasons of assembling together? I'm not a hang out with a ton of people kind of fella. I like the middle of Pinedale where there's nobody around but me and elk in the distance whistling my name. Bunny's going, I see you. You know, I'm in. How you doing, Blue Jay? I'll name you and I'll name you. You know, there's people next door. People, not out here. But it's true. Church spots have different teaching styles too, right? Topical styles. Sometimes I teach on topics. You see that little wall of down towards the bathroom? That's topics. And what you topical preach is you bring all sorts of truths from God's word to emphasize this one truth that he's saying. You pull it all together, right? That's topical. Some styles I'm doing right now, going through a book. It's called Line Upon Line, right? It's not so I can just kind of like, you know what's the easiest way to be pastor here? Let's just read a book together and I never have to, you know. I'm not reading you a book. I hope this series, this book is reading you. Seriously, that pun is intended. Let it read us where we're at, right? Could be. This every point that I bring up, I feel like I could make a series out of. When I bring a point to ponder, I go, that's a series. That's just what I think. Oh, Pastor Sharon, I'm like, that's a series. That's a t-shirt. That's my other thing. That's a t-shirt. Here's another real fact. The Bible's fine all by itself, and both styles are just fine. I figured that for 20-plus years, Second Church Plant, 20-plus years, that's true. The Bible's fine all by itself. Don't need me, right? So here's what a great local church is supposed to do. We're at the building, what we're supposed to do. One thing, strengthen community. There's strength in community. There's when one falls, another picks up. There's strength. We'd be a strength heck to Apache Junction. I like that the local officials and people love us around because we bring strength to community. It's a proving ground. If you say, just because you say you heard God doesn't mean I believe it. But over the course of time, when I see that moving in your life, you go, man, this guy's, I can send that girl. I can send Miley. Why? She perfect? Almost. But she's proven herself since she was T90. Since a T90 peanut, she has been serving God. I watched it from the front row. Another place it does, it provides accountability and character development. Roundtable, right? Hey, how you doing, bro? Good, how you doing? You know? And number four, it's a place that individuals can contribute. Give their time, their skill, their finances, so that the community can fulfill its call, right? Say it again. I'm going to say it a bunch more than I usually do. So, the disciples are called to contribute to creating a healthy local church. A healthy church should grow so well and be able to send out disciples too. We should be doing good stuff in our community here in our lives, and we should be sending people to do things. Say 3-4 minutes for Miley. $3 more for Miley. I'm going to say something hard. You ready? We'll say something hard in a minute. Often the problem in sending isn't because we don't have a proven person to send. And it's not because we don't have willing people to send. It's sadly the problem that the church in general, disciples around the world, don't go because the other disciples don't do what they're supposed to with their finances. Money subjects is going to come up a little bit in this episode. It's often what people don't want to hear God about in their lives. Most people never come to church because I don't talk. Anyways, you know me, you know me. But I've never gone to church, and I don't expect any of you ever come to church and go, you know what? I hope he just speaks to me about my finances today. Never once have I gone, man, that's what I want. I'm usually like, can you heal me? Because I'm a little sniffly. Or, Lord, I got this thing or that thing. Or, you know, I'm praying for somebody else. Or, I just want to meet with you and just feel your presence this morning. Just mess on the altar. But I never come and go, pfft. Check me on my bank account. Never once have I done that. But here's the thing. Shouldn't we be willing to let God talk to us about anything? And why am I leading this? Because there's going to be a problem in a minute about some stuff about that. Can God really talk to us about our money? Can he talk to us about our relationships? Can he talk to you about your work? Can he talk to you about your future? Can he talk to you about anything? Like, what subjects can't you God talk about? And those are the subjects you should break open really quickly. If you won't let God talk to you about it, that means he probably wants to talk about it. As a professional counselor, Dr. Heidi probably would agree with me 100%. The things that people kind of skirt by in their childhood are the things we need to talk about. We make a fine living as Ethos Counseling, trying to dig into people's lives to bring healing to spots that have been damaged. It takes a while sometimes to get in there, you know? Can you let God touch that? Ouch. I'm ouchy, you know? Okay, let's roll, Pastor. Say, no fake Jesus. Acts of Apostles 19, 11 through 16. Here's a good one. Say, God gave Paul. God gave Paul. Very important. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. So when handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their disease and evil spirits were expelled. Say, awesome. Here's another thing. It's not a formula. Man, I've seen this turn growing up with Jesus in my life. When I about 19, Dr. Heine, I figured out 19, 20 when I got saved somewhere. And I've seen people turn God do something great into formulas. It was a specific directed from God. Ask God. As long as you know him, ask him before you do stuff like ask him, right? Some others, there's been some documented people, even though like they're broken vessels. God, I'm a broken vessel. I don't know how close you are to Jesus. I'm trying to get as close as I can, but I'll never be him 100%. Because, no, I'm human. I'll fall short, but we strive to be like him, right? But there are guys in the past, I think, guys like Billy Graham, Smith Wigglesworth, Pastor Justin in the Bible class, Branham and Jack Coe. I'm not that kind of preacher, and I don't even promote some of the styles of their ministry, but there were legitimate miracles that happened in those things because God gave them special ability. But how many guys I've seen go, I'll pray over this cloth and I'll send it to you. 1995 and some holy water from Israel. Shut up! No fake Jesus. Authentic Jesus. And Paul didn't go, hey, you know, I'm going to pray over these cloths and send them out. It just said, hey, I feel like people are getting healed. He's like, awesome. He didn't turn it into like, I'm going to sell those cloths on the road. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. Didn't say they were believers, right? They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Do, 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 do. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't try to use it. Don't take advantage. It's not a superpower. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. It says, the seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, his seven sons were doing this. So his seven sons, okay? They're, hey, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, come out. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirits replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Who are you? I know, trust me, I know Jesus busted up out of the tomb. We're like, what? I know him. He's been casting us out since he got here. We know God and his son. And we get the, and I'm knowing Paul. That word actually means to get to know. Like, I'm getting to know this Paul character. He actually has authentic Jesus where he's causing the kingdom of darkness a little trouble. But who are you, Jack? Now, me, I have to go back to my roots, Jake. You would relate to this to me. Mark, maybe, some of those old school thug people. If I got a call from my people in New York State, and they said to me, Capozzi, there's this guy messing up in town, and he claims he knows you. We caught this dude doing something, and he claims he knows you. Like, before we rectified business with this fella, he said, I know Sean Capozzi, so I'm calling you. I'm going to FaceTime you. Do you know this cat? If I didn't recognize that dude, it would not be good for him. So if I said, I don't know that bro, I'd be like, oh no. I'd almost want to lie because like what's going to happen to you is going to be terrible. Those guys that caught you in that situation and you dropped a name that they wanted to give some grace to because we had a relationship at some point in time in our life and you took advantage of that because you don't know who I am. You're trying to use Sean Capozzi's name to get out of a situation and I don't know who you are and I don't want to pay that. I don't want to pay that debt. Because I don't know you. I don't want to owe them anything. I love them. We're brothers, but I don't want to owe that. No, not a good idea. The evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them and overpowered all seven of them. and attacked them with such violence. All seven dudes, just like a Bruce Lee evil spirit. If we could do video, I don't know if we could do video. I was going to put a picture of a Wolverine shredding something up, just spinning around. A Tasmanian devil going, you know. You know. And it says it attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Here's a sad fact. Fake Jesus and fake relationships can get yourself and others hurt severely. Fake Jesus and fake relationship gets you and other people hurt badly. Say, no fake Jesus. I'm doing so good, Bob. I might get to the end. Never have I ever thought of it. Acts 19, but don't count. Don't put that on. I'm not committing to that, Josiah. I just said it might happen. Acts 19, 17 through 20. I'm trying. Skate. This is my skating foot. It's my kick save foot, apparently, too. The story of what happened, those dudes getting trashed out. These seven sons, the priest, this leading hotshot guy, his seven sons got their butts handed to him because they were calling on a God they did not know, and they got whooped. The story of what happened, the absolute beatdown, spread quickly all through Ephesus. To the Jews and the Greeks, they already heard about it. Like, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened? Yeah. Better than TikTok. It got around. A solemn fear descended on the city. And hey, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus wasn't a cuss word. In this city, the name of the Lord Jesus wasn't loosely tossed around and played with. The name of the Lord Jesus isn't just a bumper sticker or a religious phrase in Ephesus. The name of the Lord Jesus, say Lord Jesus, was greatly honored. The name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. All right, I grew up Catholic. You all know that. That's how I grew up. Roman Catholic. Italian Roman Catholic. That's another whole level. And I went to private school, and they made us from kindergarten to 12th grade go to confession at church. I can't remember how often. It felt like way too often. Once a month, it felt like, then wasn't I just here, man? And Pastor Justin and I discussed this. As a kid, there was a priest called Father Adamski. He was tough. And the other priests would go in this little confessional in the back. They couldn't necessarily see your face. It was like a lattice. And you had to look through. They could probably tell who you were, but you're like, I'm kind of hidden. So a lot of kids are like waiting in line. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to sit back there. The priest don't recognize my face. You know, I'll be doing this. Father, it's been 10 days. It's my last confession. And I stole some bubblegum from sister's closet. And I cussed out my friend. You know? But I was like, I want to get this over with. And me and a few other guys would go right up to Father Adamski. He would sit in the front in his chair and just look at you like you're looking at my soul right now. God's telling you what I did. I better tell you exactly what I did because you already know. You know? But imagine God moved on you so much. It was so authentic that you had to run to someone else and go, hey, I got to tell you my problem, and I need to get over it. This is my sin. I need to confess it because I don't want to return back to that because I authentically found Jesus. There's power in that. Absolute power in it. James said this in 5:16. It's not there, Bob. James said, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Isn't that amazing? So the number of them who had been practicing sorcery, anything spiritual that isn't God is actually ungodly. Anything spiritual that isn't God is actually ungodly. They brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. Sometimes following God needs radical action. It needs radical action. Like, ever have a God move on you so much you did something radical like I had to do that? Well, you may not know this, but I'm a music connoisseur, Hondro. He's like, Pastor, you send me too many songs every day. He's like, oh my God. Pastor Justin's talking about, I got a playlist that's just from Dad. Music's a love language to me. There's six love languages. Music's one of them. But I'm going to say it. When I got, the Holy Spirit was moving in my life after that moment. I had this, you're going to laugh at me again, roller skating. Tapes. Tape cassettes. Not eight tracks. I had a couple. Albums, ton. But I started collecting tapes because that was in. Tapes. You can make your own tape. I can make my own playlist. Take me 45, 6 hours. I'll get it done. Woo! Everybody make tapes? Mix tapes? Yeah, mix tapes, people. Thank you. Tell the young people. Shout at them. And the church. I'm the church, too. Not just you young people. It's us. It's that I had this collection, and there's some songs that I knew in my time of serving the enemy in college. I had some music that I knew the origin and roots of where it came from. And one day, I was just in church worshiping, eyes closed, and I felt God say, get rid of those today. So I did this. I didn't burn them. I took them to a place called Sam Goody, and they would buy used music. And I had this, I was proud, like, I have the whole collection of this. No one else really probably has this. I'm a young guy. I have all this. I'm probably going to get some bank, you know? And I put it in there. I'm thinking, that's probably back in the day. That's probably $50. Whew. They slapped like $14.95 on the counter. I said, what? Well, it's used stuff, dude. And I took whatever the money was. I can't remember how much it was. And I took it and I threw it in the offering. Church next Sunday. And never look back. And I have not listened to that group since. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't. That's why I don't give the name. But the Lord told me, burn it. That's no part of the long part of your life. Be radical. My friends were mad when they found out, because I found Jesus and they were kind of picking on me and persecuting me a lot of it. Because I was like, you were this guy. Now you're this guy. Sure you are. And they had a right to. I had to get my character proven. I had to find Jesus being authentic. When they found I did that, they were like mad. Dude, why don't you give that to us? You gave the money to the church. Oh my gosh. You watched Jimmy Swagger. Oh man. The value of the burned books was several million dollars. The equivalent was several million dollars. God became more important when you have real conversion. God is more important than your money and your things. When he really becomes first in your life, you go, okay, what do you want? That's usually the reaction. Here's the point. It says, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Say, that's the point. I could end here. I pick up a part two because I'd like to leave space to react and still get you out on time, but I want you to have a moment with God. Because sometimes as disciples, we just need to have a response. And I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but he's here. And I want to give you time because I don't know. Maybe you have never asked God for his Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're like, I don't know, man. Well, no one's going to force it or fake it here. And if you just want his Spirit and you want to be baptized in his Spirit, then ask him. If you need healing, ask him. If you like need to know him more, you're in the middle of trial and trouble, or there's something going on in your life that you know, that thing that I talked about you don't want to talk about, whatever that is for you, I want to provide a moment where we all have an opportunity to go, God, I'm here. I'm going to ask you authentically. Not Pastor Sean shouting into a megaphone saying, you got to repent from you ate all the onions you lied to your mom. I don't know. It just came out. I don't know. Whatever your thing is, whatever it is now you're afraid I'm going to go, he's all prophetic, he's looking into my soul, and he's going to pull it out in front of everybody. You know? Nope. Even if I did, I wouldn't do that. But like, don't you authentically want Jesus and his Spirit going into this new year like you've never had him before? It feels like we need, it feels like the world's escalating. While I was gone, I found out about Venezuela. The world's changing. And you can hear the rumbling. Dr. Hardy talked about the shofar horns. I feel like his return, he talked, remember last week in chapter 18, he says there is going to be a day of judgment. And I don't want to be holding my own stuff, remember? He shook the dust off, so you hold it to yourself then. I don't want to hold any more of my own stuff, keep it for me and Jesus and what he wants for me. I don't want anything less than real Jesus. I don't want anything less for my life. I actually want to be set free, and I'll be a person that sets other people free. So I want his freedom. This year, like never before, I want his presence. I want authentic healings to happen because God's using his church, you, wherever you meet. And it's not because we're faking it and say, you can pray in tongues. If I pray for your honor, just pray after me. No, stop. If she wants the Holy Spirit, you just pray, Father. It's your daughter. She needs you. Right now she's mad at Pastor because I'm pulling her out. She don't like to be pulled out. I'm over here now, Anna. Wouldn't do that. I would do that to him, though. Usually I do, you know. But I'm going to play a song. The worship team played it earlier. I didn't know they were playing it. I never know until I come in. That's why I like it. And I sent the song today to Dr. Heidi, and I said, this is the song I want to end service with. And she said, I don't know what she said, because then I turned off my phone. Hope she said, okay. And the worship team said, and the leaders go, well, we could play that. And I said, no, I want you to respond too if you need a moment. Because you're always out here worshiping in front of us and playing your instrument and giving your best so that we could enter into worship. And I wanted my worship team to have a moment if they needed a moment. I want to take a moment. I'm going to invite you to take a moment. It's not a long song, but ask him something sincerely and be open to let him do and talk to you about anything. Can we do that? You can do the moment standing. You can do the moment in your seat. You can move it. Pastor Jody's on her knees. You can take a moment. The seatbelt signs are off. You can roam about the cabin. Except little kids can't escape Alejandro. So, Father, I pray that your spirit would authentically come again. I felt you in worship. I felt you this morning in prayer. I felt you actually speaking the word. It's not about how I feel. It's about you authentically transforming lives. Authentically healing bodies. Authentically casting out evil spirits. Authentically giving us new ways to pray and worship in language. Authentically giving us prophetic gifts to speak into people's lives so that you can be seen. Be authentic with us today, Lord, and help us be authentic with you. In Jesus' name, please play the song. Pray you had an authentic minute with the God of the universe. And you asked him. And I pray he continue meeting with you in ways that you never knew he could. And I pray we be empowered by his authentic spirit this year as the church, wherever we go. And that signs and wonders would follow, Lord, that people would get saved and delivered and set free because we gave them authentic Jesus out of our lives. And we turned and we did other things, Father God, that were hard to do. And if you're in a hard season, remember this. Good things can come out of hard things. Be faithful. Trust in God. Seek him and worship him because he is worthy of both. In Jesus' name, Father, release your church into the community and into their homes today. Father, I pray your spirit continue to speak and burn within them, Lord God, they would start, Father, cooking, moving, and having their being in you this year. Bring us together as a community like never before. Expand us, mature us, Father God. Protect us and guide us. In Jesus' name, church said amen.